And as we think about, you know, the race that God has given us, he has given us a race that the most powerful thing about this race is not who comes in first place or who comes in last place, but in this race, all you got to do is finish it. That's all you got to do is finish it, and you're a winner.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series titled Beginning with the End in Mind. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Fine Art of Finishing Well.
Well, I'm going to finish up this series that I did for this month, a one-month series titled Beginning with the End in Mind. And we've talked about a couple of things. We talked about heaven. We talked about eternal condemnation or hell. We've talked about building your resume for heaven. And this morning, I want to speak to something that can apply to all of us. When we think about not only our lives and living our lives, but also when we think about the different tasks that we have been given, whether it's on our job, in the church, in our families, the tasks that we have been given, that we have put our hands to. I want to speak to you this morning as we think on the theme again, beginning with the end in mind, the fine art of finishing well. The fine art of finishing well. Nothing more rewarding than when you finish well. I know in the summertime, when I go out and cut my grass, it takes me about an hour and a half to cut my grass. And then I got hedges, and it takes me about an hour to trim my hedges. And then weed eat, you know, around the edge of my yard. Nothing is more fulfilling than to go sit on your porch with a glass of lemonade or ice water, iced tea, whatever the case might be, and sit back and look at how nice everything looks. You know, there's no, you know, I guess that's the next closest thing to heaven, you know, just to look back and see, you know, the beauty of it all. The fine art of finishing well. That when you know that you've done a job well, that when you know that you've done it to the best of your ability, and you can walk away knowing that you've given your all and that you finished well. In the scripture this morning, I would ask you to turn to your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul in verse 6 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." The fine art of finishing well. I've shared the story on a number of occasions about William Borden. He was the heir to the Borden Dairy Estate in Chicago. He graduated from high school in 1904. And as a result of his graduation, his parents gave him a trip around the world. And as he went around the world, he traveled through Asia, the Middle East, and Europe, and he began to have a burden for people that were hurting. And so, writing home, he told his parents, once again, a young man just out of high school, that I'm going to give my life and prepare for the mission field. With that, he took his Bible And he wrote the words, "No reserves." As he was this millionaire, heir to be a millionaire, there were many people that offered him high-paying jobs. He went on to graduate from Yale College, and as these individuals were offering him all type of jobs, he entered two more words into the back of his Bible where he had no reserves. He wrote, "No return." As he prepared to go to China to work with Muslims, he stopped in Egypt for some further preparation. And while he was in Egypt, he was stricken with cerebral meningitis. And 1 month after that, he died. And somebody said, "Man, what a waste of a life." But when they shipped his possessions home and they had his Bible, underneath the words "no reserve" and "no return" was "no regrets." No regrets. And so as we talk about the fine art of finishing well, I want to challenge you with those 3 points that if you are going to finish well, there has to be no reserves, no return, and no regrets. As we look at our passage today, the Apostle Paul is sitting in a Roman prison awaiting execution. Some people believe that this was the maritime dungeon, which if you go back and study the maritime dungeon, I went online, looked at some pictures. It is a cold, dark, damp, rat-infested place. And so here's Paul in this prison, waiting execution. And as he's sitting there waiting execution, he takes out his pen. And as he takes out his pen, he begins to write a letter. And he writes this letter to somebody who had discipled. He wrote this letter to somebody that he at one time called his son in the faith. He writes this letter to a young man named Timothy. He writes this letter to encourage Timothy. He writes this letter to strengthen Timothy. He writes this letter because he, in a sense, he is passing on the mantle for Timothy to carry. Paul said, "The time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I've been offered up." Now, this is a powerful phrase when Paul says, "I've been offered up." Back in the book of Numbers, what they would do is that they would offer a sacrifice. All right, so they would take this animal and they would put it on the altar, and then they would set it on fire, and or the coals would come up and consume the sacrifice, and it would burn. And then after that, in Numbers 15, what they would do is they would take a vial of wine, and they would pour it out on the sacrifice. And what that signified was the completion of the sacrifice. So Paul uses this concept when he says, "I've been offered up." In other words, what Paul said is, "I've been poured out like a drink offering." Now, this is deep. Check this out. That there was a sacrifice, right, that was offered. And that was the bulk of this ritual, of the sacrifice. And the wine that was poured on top kind of finished it off. Look what Paul says. He says that my life, that my service, that all these missionary trips that I have taken have been my sacrifice. I have given my life to the Lord. That has been my sacrifice. And now, as I sit here in this Roman dungeon, I'm ready what? I'm ready what? To be I'm ready to be poured out. I'm ready to finish the offering. I'm ready to finish the sacrifice. That's powerful. That's powerful when you think about it. His whole life had been a sacrifice. And now he's saying that in his death, I'm going to be poured out to complete the sacrifice. And not only that, but he even gives us another term, a nautical term. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. That word departure was, like I said, a nautical term. And it referred to a ship that was tied up in the harbor. And that soon the ship would be released from the ropes and the ship would sail off to regions unknown. And Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I'm getting ready to loosen the old ropes to this world. And I'm getting ready to sail off into regions unknown by man. I'm getting ready to go to heaven. And so here's Paul writing this powerful, I mean, just in that one verse, he packed so much in that one verse about his departure. And as he goes on, he gives a word of encouragement, a word of instruction to his son in the faith, Timothy. And in this, we see three powerful truths that demonstrate the fine art of finishing well. The fine art of finishing well. What is it that you have put your hand to right now? Are you working with some youth? Finish well. What is it that you have put your hand to? Are you serving in a ministry? Finish well. What is it that you have put your hand to? Raising a family? Finish well. On your job, have you been given an assignment to do? Do you have a task to do? Finish well. In your life, as you live your life, maybe some of us are coming to the end of our lives. We can still finish well. And so he gives us these three powerful truths for finishing well. The first thing, if we're going to finish well, finishing well involves no reserves. No reserves. What does that mean? That means I don't have anything left. I've given it all. That everything that I had, I have given it all in my service. He says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. Look back in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Paul tells his son in the faith, he says, fight the good fight. Now, this was probably 2 years before he wrote 2 Timothy. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy to fight the good fight. Now, Paul, at the end of his life, he reflects on his life. He thinks back over what he has done. And in confidence, he kind of rears back in that prison with pen in hand and says, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. This word fight is a very interesting word. It comes from the Greek word agonizomai. And we all recognize the first part of that word. It means to agonize. And so what Paul was saying here, you know, he's not saying that he gets out here and fight. You know, some people might say, well, yeah, they take that literally, right? Well, I'm going to be in a fight with somebody every day. No, that's not what Paul's saying. He's saying that in life that you will have to agonize through some things, that you will have to, like the runner, like if you watch the runner, when the runner is running, that he's exerting energy and effort. Every muscle in his or her body is being strained as they reach toward the prize. You can see the flexing and the strengthening of the muscles moving ahead. And to some degree, that's what? They're what? Agonizing. Agonizing. Giving it all as they go through life. And what Paul is saying here, that when there's all zeros on the clock of life. And God calls me to the locker room of heaven, that I've left everything on the field. Whew. Can you say that? Can you say that you've left everything on the field? No reserves. Lest we misunderstand, some people will say, well, you know, we don't need to burn out. And you know, I don't think the problem that we have is burning out. We have more of a problem with rusting out. That's what we need to be concerned about. Not with burnout, rust out. You know, when you think about that, you know, I don't think that God wants anybody to burn out. You know, that's very clear. But we need to give it all. That when we come to the end, Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I've agonized. I've strained. I have put it all out on the field. You know, I had the opportunity to coach football, college football, for about 4 years. And as I coached football, one of the things that we would tell the guys is that when the game is over, you can, and the scoreboard has the results, that once that game is over, there's nothing you can do to go back and change the score. Absolutely nothing. As they say, it is what it is. And you can't change it. And so we told the guys, look, while you're in the game, don't bring anything back into this locker room. Leave it all out on the field. And if you're going to finish well, you got to leave it on the field of life. You can't go into heaven with a bunch of reserves. You can't go into heaven and say, well, you know what, God? You know, I saved 60 hours that I could have been serving. But look at these 60 hours. I'm bringing them with him to heaven. And then God is going to put them to the fire. And it's just going to burn up. Smoke. Leave it all on the field. Now, again, God wants us to exercise wisdom, because I know that some people may say, well, you know, we're going to burn out and then we're not going to be good. Now, see, that's not, don't misunderstand what Paul's saying. Paul's saying the things that God gave me to do, that I gave everything that I had and I left it on the field. The second thing that we see is that Paul said, if you're going to finish well, not only does it involve no reserves, but the second thing it involves is no return. No return. I was looking at a video clip from John Maxwell, who was a motivational speaker. And John Maxwell was commenting on this verse here where Paul says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course. He was commenting on this, and he said, in AD 63, Nero, who was the Roman emperor, he decided that he was going to compete in the Olympic Games. So Nero went to Greece, and when he went to Greece, he was in the chariot race. And as he was in the chariot race, he fell out of the chariot. And when he fell out of the chariot, he decided that he wasn't going to win. So what he did, he went to the judge and told the judge of the Olympic Games to declare him the winner of the race. And the judge declared him the winner. So Nero goes back to Rome. All the way back to Rome, people are cheering Nero because he won the contest. Tell him how great he is. Tell him he's a champion. All the while knowing that he never finished the race. Paul said, I'm not like Nero. He said, I finished the race. I didn't go to some judge and tell him, declare me the champion, declare me the winner. Paul said, I finished the race. There was no return. I didn't stop. I didn't quit. And as we think about, you know, the race that God has given us, he has given us a race that the most powerful thing about this race is not who comes in first place or who comes in last place, but in this race, all you got to do is finish it. That's all you got to do is finish it, and you're a winner. 1 Corinthians, turn there, 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Paul says this, "Know you not that they who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize?" Paul said, in the earthly race, there's only one person that receives the prize. He said, but in this Christian race, he says, so run that you may obtain. See, that word obtain comes from a compound Greek word, katalambano. Kata, which means down, lambano, which means to take. Paul says, run so that you might, what? Take down the prize. All you got to do is run. And if you run and you make it to the end, there's a prize. And all you got to do is what? Reach out and take it down. The only race. I mean, it's that simple. And the only thing that God, the only requirement, get this in your mind, get this in your heart. The only requirement is that you finish the race. That's the only thing, is just finish it. In the Olympics years ago, there was a runner from Tanzania who was a favorite in the marathon. And he took off running, and he was leading in the marathon. And all of a sudden, he tripped and fell down. And he was scarred up his body, his hands, his knees were all bruised and bloody, and he could hardly make it. And he somehow limped hours after the other runners had gone across the finish line. Hours after they had crossed the finish line, he limped in, bruised and bloody and beaten. And somebody said to him, "You could have stopped at any point. You were hurt. You were bruised. You were bloody." And he responded, "My country didn't send me thousands of miles to start the race. They sent me thousands of miles to finish the race." God didn't send his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins, for you to start the race. God sent his son to die on the cross for you to finish the race. That's why Christ came, for you to finish the race. And yet and still, the thing that troubles my heart, the thing that troubles my spirit, is that we have people all along the way who are not finishing the race. And not only are they not finishing, but some people are not finishing well. I went through the scripture. I began to think through the Bible. And I came up with a list of individuals who did not finish well. Now, the amazing thing about every one of these people is they started well. They all started well, but they didn't finish well. Lot's wife, when God told Lot that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and for Lot to get his family out, and Lot's family came with him, they all started well. They started to walk away from the city. They were all in one accord. They were all in unison. They all started well. But Lot's wife looked back and became a product for molten salt. She turned back.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Fine Art of Finishing Well. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Fine Art of Finishing Well, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Fine Art of Finishing Well. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Fine Art of Finishing Well. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.